Ladies and gentlemen, turn in your Bibles once again to 1 Timothy chapter 2. As I continue to preach in your hearing, make America godly again, and then she will be great again, part 15. Praying through the Bible, number 376. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, I know I can go right to where I'm going to focus on tonight, but I want to remind you that this passage starts off with prayer and the importance of prayer for all people. And this entire chapter is about prayer. It is not about and primarily about something that I'm going to deal with tonight that unfortunately is very controversial in the church universal. The main point is, no matter what you think of this or that, every Christian, every child of God ought to, excuse me, shut up and pray. And that's what we don't do. And that's just the truth. And you cannot tell me it's not the truth, because I know it's the truth. The biggest problem in the church tonight is prayerless people. People who are playing instead of praying. For kings and for all that are in authority, pray for all of these people. For kings and for all that are in authority, no matter how silly you think they might be, no matter how wicked you think they might be. Everybody's not saved, man. Everybody does not have faith like you do. Born again one. Doesn't matter how ignorant you think they might be, you need to pray for them that God would lead them and guide them. God knows them, you don't. For kings and for all, for presidents and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. The other day, Paula White made another stupid statement, foolish statement, asinine statement that's going to, which causes problems, no matter what side of the fence you're on. She said something to the effect that if you don't vote, if you Christians don't vote for President Trump, you will answer to God. That is ridiculous. First of all, you should not bring God into this mess. God told us not to even get entangled in the affairs of this life ourselves. You know, even though he's in control of everything, you don't need to bring him into this. This is our mess. The leaders that are in office today are a reflection of the people. And that's just not wise to say. Whether you're for Trump or not, that's not wise to say. And however, what is wise to say, you will answer to God for not praying for whoever is the president. You'll answer to God for that. where this President Obama, which half the nation hates, or whether it's Trump, President Trump, which half the nation hates. You people need to be reminded, Tony Evans has told you all for years, we're the referees. We ought not be on anybody's side but God's side, period. That's it. But you all have not learned that. And today we got a heretic, a joker, one who was a follower of Christ for many years, and now he has forsaken Christ, has left Christ, but yet he's telling the church that how Christians particularly white Christians have supported President Trump has done great damage to the church. He's not even in the church. He has forsaken Christ. He's a Judas. Don't get me started. Lord, help me to stay on track. We ought to pray for all kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Pray first, then vote, if you want to do that at all. But one thing you must do is pray as a child of God. Number three, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. But see, you're not interested in that. You're interested in putting signs in your yard and rah-rah at a convention and waving your hand and clapping for foolishness. On both sides. On the Obama side and the Trump side. I don't care which. I'm not on either side. That's why I can preach the way I preach. I'm with God. And by the way, God is not with the donkeys or with the elephants. For the donkeys are asses and the elephants forget everything. And don't listen. Excuse me. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Everybody who is a born again child of God ought to pray for everybody, because it pleases God, who will have all men to be saved. That's God's will. That's what he desires and wants. But he won't make you get saved. And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Some people are not coming unto the knowledge of the truth because we as Christians are not praying for them and we're not witnessing to them. That's just the reality. The two main things that God wants us to do, we don't do. We do everything else. We have fall festivals that are meaningless. I love you. I'm not mad at you. Fall festivals that are meaningless. Awanas has degenerated into a big old party, a pizza party for children. Your children are not learning. Most of your children are not learning the word through Awana. They're not. They're over there playing while you're supposed to be in prayer meeting. They need to be in prayer meeting with you. That's why they're crazy. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You may be seated. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. This is the word of God. And you're going to hear that repeated here shortly. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. You may be seated, everybody. In like manner what? I want these people this gender to pray as well, everywhere. Women. In like manner also, I want the women to pray, but here's how I want them to pray, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. I've already dealt with this. Some of you are still mad about it. It's okay. I don't care about you getting mad. One of the blessings that God blessed me with some years ago when I was a traveling evangelist, people would not pray. I got sick and tired of going to churches where the pastor, the people have already made, they know the Bible. They know it just as much as I do. They know they ought to pray, but they don't. They didn't even pray for the meeting. I had a pastor that invited me all over to Europe, all the way over to Europe, to preach a revival meeting for 1 week. And when I landed, he picked me up. And on the way to the church, he told me, I don't even know if I want revival myself. That's what he told me. He was honest. I'm not going to say his name, for some of you will know him. That's the truth. I lie not. And I'm convinced that many of the pastors that I visited, they never told me that truth, but it was the case with them as well. People who know the Bible and have no intention have already made up their minds that they're not going to do what the Bible says. And that's where we are tonight. But God told me and told every preacher from his word, preach the word in season and out of season. I already know the possibly over 1,000 people listening to me right now, male and female, they're particularly you women, and most of you men, you metrosexuals, you're not going to do what I am going to preach tonight. You're just not going to do it. You've already made up your mind that you're going to disobey the word of God. You've already heard somebody dismiss what we're going to preach tonight, and you have dismissed it as well. I already know that. Most of you women are not going to get into modest apparel. You're just not going to do it. And I already know that. But that matters not to me. My job is to preach the word of God, and I think God set me up in a beautiful situation where I can preach to many Christians each and every night. And they can choose to do it or not do it. And I don't have to deal with it after that. But you should obey the word of God if you're a child of God. And if you try to pray and you don't pray the way he tells you to pray, because this is about prayer. This is not about just dress. It's about prayer and how God wants you to pray. When you go to see the Pope, the president's wife, she had to dress. You have to dress in a black dress and a white thing over your head. You just can't come into the presence of the Pope and not be biblical. Modest. She can't go in there with no skinny jeans to see the Pope. Now, I'm not with the Pope. There's no hope in the Pope as far as I'm concerned. But they there's some things that you just have to do based upon the word of God. I mean, everybody knows you ought not to go to church with immodest dress on. I mean, you know that. It's in your spirit. It's in your conscience. It's in your mind. In like manner, also, I want the women to pray like the men everywhere. But I want them to do it this way, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly. What are you saying? Preacher, are you saying that the women in the skinny jeans and the yoga pants don't look good? Yes, they look good. That is precisely the problem. They look very good. Every man on earth knows it. Even men taught by great Bible teachers that I respect and who have taught them to be like they act like they don't see women and all this kind of thing. That's why they should not do it. They are that makes them a distraction big time and a temptation. And that's what's wrong with the church today. Men can't keep their eyes closed in prayer because they're seeing somebody over here in these jeans that look like she stood on the dresser and poured herself in them. And they look good. Don't lie. Don't say they look disgusting. You're a liar to hell. They look great. They look fantastic. They're built like a brick house, most of them. But I've already told you, some of y'all are mad about this right here. Skinny jeans are for skinny women, not for fat women. I know you don't like it, but it's true. Okay? Whatever the case, you ought to be modest. Don't go nowhere. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to deal with that tonight. My baby son wanted me to deal with it some more. I told him, no, I'm not going to. I already made them mad. You want me to just slap, run them away, don't you? I'm not doing it. Bear with me. In like manner also that while you're praying, women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. And by the way, if your husband wants you to wear skinny jeans around the house and all that, and it's just him and you and him and so forth and so on, and little children who don't know what's going on, that's between you and God. We're talking about in the house of God. And when you go out in the public as a Christian, if your husband likes to see you in yoga pants around the house, that's fine. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Y'all might get something started. You might have some more babies. Real fast like. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you leave out the house representing Christ, when you go to the house of God representing Jesus and going to pray, you don't need to be doing that. That's not right. That's not good. I don't care what preacher says otherwise. And I know most preachers have compromised on this. I already know this. Most of my brethren have. Because most men, as you know, are henpecked and controlled and dominated by their wives, and whatever they say goes. And therein lies the problem in the church. Along with the lack of prayer, the family is the is out of order. We want to do everything else God's way, but the family won't do it our way. So we have philosophies going on in the church and families that are anti-biblical. Everybody's doing what they want to do in their own eyes, like in the book of Judges. And we all know it, and all hell is breaking loose. And if you have not gotten, sir, father, when you tell your daughter, no, ho, take that jacket off. What? It's summertime. It's 95 degrees. What you got a jacket on for? Take it off. Where you going? And you got a little half bikini top lace deal. What on? And he said, no, child of mine. You're not going out anywhere like that. And sir, if you have not gotten the eye roll that goes from the east to the west, that almost they almost faint making the, oh my, where the eyeballs hide behind their brain, the eyeballs disappear. Sir, you're not doing your job if you don't get that eye roll, man. You got to do it. You got to have that. You can't wear the badge, man. You got to have the badge as a father. No, ma'am. You're not going out of my house looking like that. No. And then they say, are you serious? And I roll, yeah. Oh, yeah. No. You can take your behind right back in there and do something else, or you'll be staying here with us. See, she's going to be mad at me for the rest of my life. That's fine. So I don't care about that. But you're not leaving out of this house with that mess on. What's wrong? What's the matter with it? There's a whole lot wrong with it, and you're not doing it. Well, Pastor and his wife let their children just like that. I don't care what the pastor do. The pastor don't live here. What? No. Man, earn your badge, man. Tell her no, you're not doing that. You think it's just a Christian thing? T.I., who's done talked all kinds of nasty talk as a rapper. Women are crazy about him. Now, T.I., you think I'm hard on my daughters? And none of my daughters got pregnant under me. None of them. Now, when they move out of here, you know, that's between them and God. But they, so far, so good. But now you think I'm crazy. You think I'm hard on my daughters, and I'm hard on you women. T.I., is something else. I've never even thought about this, but T.I. said, I make an appointment with the gynecologist. I do it, not my wife. I make an appointment with the gynecologist for my daughters in their teen years every year to make sure they're still virgins and the hymen is still in place. I said, all right then, my man, T.I. the rapper, he's not playing. He's not playing. I've never even thought about anything like that, but I'll tell you what. My man, T.I. He said, as of her 18th birthday, she's still a virgin. Now look at you. If I had done something like that, y'all would be throwing the Bible at me. But that's what T.I. did. The rapper. Verse 10. But which becometh. Okay, let me finish verse 9. In the like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. When you spend $250 for your hair, I think that's too much. That's a car payment. In some rural areas, that's almost a house payment. That's a bit too much. You might be considered vain. You're so vain. But which becometh costly array? Women spend too much money on their clothes. Somebody, I think it was Dr. Dave Ramsey. He's a doctor of money. He probably doesn't have the doctorate, but he's a doctor of money in financial peace. He told people that you need to stop trying to soothe yourself and get therapy from spending a whole lot of money, because that's not going to get it. And he's right. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works? When you step out the house, you and your husband, y'all do what y'all want to do. You can have some short shorts on as long as you don't have no teenage boys sitting in there, and they don't need to do that. That's not cool. It's disrespectful. But your little children, they little children, whatever, two and three little children, whatever, they don't know what's going on. They don't think you want to sit down and play with them, play some Play-Doh or something, whatever. Yeah, you do what you want to do. But when you step out the house and you represent Jesus and you're going to church to pray, I hope, not to play, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works to help somebody. I told you all the other night, Mrs. John Thompson, I forget her first name, a very beautiful lady. What's her name? Sister Crystal Thompson. I don't know. They're somewhere in the state of Texas. They're from Philadelphia. She used to get depressed and down pretty easily. But she found out how to overcome that. She started doing good works for other people who were less fortunate than she. And she reported in an article that she ran in one of our publications that that lifted her up more than anything. And it helped her to overcome her depression. It's up to you. You do what you want. You'll answer to God. Your prayers won't be answered. I don't believe they will be. Let the women, okay, verse 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. We dealt with all of that. And I know some of y'all are rolling your eyes and I wish you stopped dealing with it. That's okay. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. And we didn't fully deal with this yet. We're talking about making America great again by making America godly again. Godly. And judgment must begin at the house of God. And right now, in most churches, things are messed up and are out of order. Especially in the home. And guess what? There are many preachers, even big time preachers, who are guilty for making it so, and they are suffering for it. You know how they're suffering? They're suffering having their staff to spend a whole lot of time putting out fires, because whether you realize it or not, the church is made up of families. And we got all kind of fires. For example, young girls being molested by old dogs in the church. Children being molested by old dogs in the church. One of the reasons why. Should not happen, but one of the reasons why. Women being hit on. Husbands got who are out there working their behinds off to provide for their family, got to report to the pastor and to the staff, Deacon so-and-so hitting on his wife. Now, he don't want to kill nobody. That's what he will say to the pastor. Listen to me, man. I don't have to kill nobody. I don't have to, you know. I know y'all saved and Christians, all that. I'm not all with that right now. But so, you know, I just got out of prison. I don't want to go back. But if your deacon or your little minister friend keep talking to my wife and cornering my wife, you know, some things can happen here. Didn't you say that from the Bible, that jealous is the rage of man? You better tell him something before I have to step forward. Just because I'm working and I can't be here, I don't want to. My oldest daughter told me that Deacon Bo Peep was talking to my wife the other night. Kept her in there for a whole half an hour. Where were y'all at? And then the pastor, the one who had the bejeweled jeans on that night. Every time she wear those jeans, all the deacon dogs and the preacher dogs and the Bo Peeps are going to step forward. If they don't see you there, it's like a magnet. Some men can't help themselves. And some men are sick in the head, are perverted. They'll look at your daughter especially if you're not there. So I encourage all men, listen to me well. You make sure you accompany your wife and your daughters to church, these churches today. And every pastor, if he would tell the truth, would say the same thing. And you husband ought not to let your wife go at all without you, because she might be too much. She's just too much. And the way she dresses is not good. And no man ought to have to deal with that in the house of God. So excuse me. Excuse me. Verse 11, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Why, Paul? So many folks are lying on you, Paul. People have been lying on you, Paul, all my life, saying that you were a male chauvinist pig, saying you had an issue with women, all kinds of stories, because your wife mistreated you and left you and all this kind of foolishness. Paul, people have lied on you. Some folks say you hate women. You hated women. That's what they're saying today, Paul. They believe, they love all the other stuff, Ephesians 2:8-9. They love that, Paul. They love all your other. They believe that's the word of God. But this right here is not the word of God for some reason, Paul. And then we have some men, even pastors, who are so henpecked and controlled and dominated by their wives, because Jezebel, Miss Jezebel said, you need to change that. You can sleep on the couch. Don't go in there preaching that to these people, to these women. Why did you say it, Paul? Paul said, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Be humble. I know you don't like this statement, but know your place. This is why so people are so. Why do the heathen rage? Why are people all upset? Because whether you like it or not, you have a place. Everybody has a place. There are men who have to subject themselves to other men. As a man, I'm a big old man. If the police officer tell me to stop, he's an authority over me. And then it makes no difference. I'm a preacher, prophet, evangelist, whatever. You better stop that car. Or you're going to be a preacher, prophet, evangelist, whatever, in jail with your bad self. We all have our place. And I've tried to tell you, men, women know their place. But they will kick and buck and rebel and be hateful and mean and threaten you and everything else to get out of their place and control you, even though they don't know what they're going to do when they control you. You know what they're going to do? I know what they're going to do. They're going to leave you for somebody they can't control. They just want to have their way. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. What? Husbands tell their wives, honey, you need to be quiet. You ain't my daddy. No, I'm not your daddy. Your daddy walked you down the aisle and gave you to me. I'm your husband. You need to be quiet. Hi, you ain't my daddy. You can't tell me to be quiet. See, that's the problem right there. That's why you need to be quiet. Because you go off the deep end over nothing. Please come to the door, ask a question about something, so and so. What y'all doing here? Y'all just here because we black. You just can't believe that black folk can live in a house like this in these neighborhoods. And I can't do the head like the women. It goes sideways. What? And the husband said, honey, you need to be quiet. You don't know what you're talking about. What you mean? You ain't my daddy. Right there in front of the police. You ain't my daddy. No. No, you don't understand. I am not your daddy. I got more authority over you than your daddy does right now. And you need to be quiet. Otherwise, this white police officer and his little crew that's coming up the walkway going to have you on the ground handcuffed. And me too. And that I don't want that. Just trying to help y'all. And Adam was, okay, let the woman learn in silence, I'm trying to finish, with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first, here's the reason why. For Adam, God created Adam, all the way back to the creation. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And you're not going to get this in most churches. Okay, so get it while you can. Most pastors are too afraid to preach on stuff like this. They're not going to preach on it. You probably never heard a sermon on this. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And we have a whole lot of Eves today. I don't know how you can be so easily deceived. But Dr. Fred Price, the senior, the father, said one day from the pulpit, I didn't say it, he said it. There are women today, many women today, and there are some men who can talk their panties right off of them. Just with words. Don't you get mad at me. That's what he said. Now I know y'all love him. I know y'all love Fred Price and you like him. You can hate me. I'm okay. But that's what he said. And it is true. There are some bo peeps in the world who have so much confidence with women. They can do that. Why? Because there are many women, not all, who are easily deceived. And so therefore... And listen to me very carefully. Every true pastor who's doing God's will, every true minister who's doing God's will, the spiritual warfare, the real spiritual warfare, is so thick and so demonic and so persistent and so wicked and so cold-hearted, most women ought not to be in leadership over a man in any church work, period. And I love you, and I thank God for women. I thank God for women. Some of the greatest workers in the church are women, but you can't handle this level of spiritual warfare. If you're really doing what God wants you to do, you can help, you can assist, but to make the decisions and to do the stuff that needs to be done, it's just, I don't see how you can do it. Now, there are some superwomen out there, but even they should not be over men. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, in charity, and holiness with sobriety. And that verse right there blows your mind so much that I'm not even going to deal with that. I'll try to even deal with that tonight. Okay, so I'll deal with that next week. So come back. Now, let me just say this tonight. Dr. Al Mohler, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, said, it's a question of authority. It is a question of authority. He said, I think that's what makes people nervous. But the Apostle Paul makes that argument. I forbid a woman to have authority over a man. I forbid a woman to have authority over a man. Now, see, this would not be a problem if we didn't have so many weak metrosexual, whatever that is, effeminate. God help us. I don't know what happened to the men in America, but I believe somebody saw this coming, or somebody planted this, or somebody, I don't know if it is in the soy milk, stop drinking it. But we got some weak metrosexual, whatever that is. It's weak. Whatever it is weak. Effeminate men today, and women sense it, and they run all over these men. And many men do not understand their authority. Many parents don't understand their authority. That's why they fear their teenage children. You don't see, sir, if you understood your authority, you will, no matter how wicked your wife is, you'll keep her in check because you understand your authority. Dr. Almola said, this is where you go back to the original controversy. And yes, I believe it's better to lose your wife than to compromise. Yes, I do. It's better for you to lose. Preacher, you ought not to say that. I said it, and I mean it. And she needs to know it. Whatever. When I'm going to leave and take the job, whatever, do what you got to do. But I'm the boss here. I'm the king of this castle here. And whatever you need to do, you do that. And let her take the children. Let her take the children. She'll be back. If you stand your ground, because she knows she's not going to find somebody who's going to stand their ground like that. Let her take the children. Don't be afraid of that. Let her take them. And don't agree to no back and forth mess either. Stand your ground on the word of God. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be hateful. You don't have to be abusive. But whatever. What? I'm just going with what the Bible says. Yeah. And see, this is the crux of the problem in the church. The family is out, slap out of control. And pastors and pastor staff, they're constantly putting out fires or ignoring the fires, which is worse. They're off in the Bahamas somewhere while the church is on fire. Not on fire in a good way. Most pastors have a deaf ear to all the hell that's breaking loose in the families. And women are out of control in the families and in the church. I saw a so-called singles picture group of a church, large church. And if you can find a man in the crowd, let me know, because I didn't see him. And the ones, listen to me very carefully, don't get mad at me. The ones I saw, they looked weak. The three or four that I did peek out of there, they looked weak and effeminate. And there are some women who like the little man who's weak and effeminate and into fashion and all this mess, and they're going to talk with them like a little, like a sister, you know, all this mess. Oh, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? They just love him. They have no interest in marrying him. That's why they're in the single group. He can't even get a wife out of 300 women. He is only 3 men in the group. Dr. Al Mohler said, this is where you go back to the original controversy. What really was the key issue, and only a theologian like Dr. Mohler can even go this deep. The key issue is biblical authority. Y'all must understand, now I got about 7 different more paragraphs to go. So, you know, I'm just not going to be able to finish it. You just have to come back next week if you want to. He said, I'll never come back and hear you again. That's fine. I got you tonight. Dr. Mohler said, did the Holy Spirit inspire Paul to say that or not? Same Holy Spirit who said John 3:16. Same Holy Spirit. Amen, lights. I can't hear nobody. Amen, lights. Amen, walls. Same Holy Spirit who uttered through Paul, Ephesians 2:8-9. If the Holy Spirit, Dr. Mohler said, did inspire Paul to say that, then it's the word of God. Somebody say amen. It's not just written to one place, as so many people are lying and saying, and one time. The very fact that he's writing to Timothy in a general epistle means this is clearly for the entire church. Everybody in the church. Now, you're looking at the author with the help of my oldest son, Daniel White IV. And my other children, of a book that added to the Apostles' Creed. The fact that Mary Magdalene was the first one there at the tomb, and the other women. The disciples had run away and were in hiding. And I told people, and some people took that took it to try to prove the point that women ought to be preachers. That's not the point. You know, God is just straightforward and fair. My disciples are over here running away and hiding, and they were not with me, even though I was with them. And they forsook me, betrayed me at the cross, and ran away. But these ladies were there. These women were there. And they were the first ones to come to the tomb. And I believe God, if you will, did the same thing that I have done with my boys and my girls. When the girls were more faithful, I put them in the position. Not over them, but to get the job done. I didn't let an unfaithful, disobedient boy have a certain position when somebody else who is faithful, and she's a female, I gave them the job to get the job done. It's not in a not like a church type setting. And but God did not institute from that women should be preachers, pastors, over men. And I know many people have said that and have really told that lie. That's not the case. Were women were the first ones to preach the gospel? Not necessarily. God told them, Jesus told them, go and tell my disciples. But be that as it may. So we're not against women in ministry and working and serving, but they are not to rule over the men. I've never let my daughters rule over my boys. And really, in a family situation and setting, I never let the boys really rule over the girls. But, you know, it's a family situation. You get the point. And the patterns, Dr. Moeller said, he gives also in the First Corinthians letter. It appears by any honest interpretation of Scripture to have general applicability. Now, let me share this with you, and then I'm going to have to close. We actually read this morning in our family devotions as we were dealing with Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, which we read every morning. Now, you may not have to read it every morning, but if you have people in the family who are not being obedient to Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, I would encourage you to read it as much as you need to. And so David Guzik just so happened to be dealing with headship in this passage that we were reading, Ephesians chapter 5. And so Dr. David Guzik writes in his enduring word, and I want you to get this and it will be gone. And I have to bring these theologians to bear because this is such a controversial issue. And I'm saying a whole lot coming from my heart and experience as well, along with what they're saying. But I'm appealing to authority because I want you to understand no one is picking on you. But he said, when you look at the biblical idea of headship in other passages of the Holy Word of God, such as 1 Corinthians chapter 11, again, I'm telling you, most of you have already checked out, some of you women, you done flipped over, and now you're looking at the Golden Girls, while your husband is very interested in this right here. I understand, you're mad, that's okay. You made up your mind. You'll get the God will deal with your body when you get to heaven, if you get there. And most of you are not going to do it, but I'm going to preach it. 1 Timothy 3, the emphasis is put constantly upon the fact that the man was created first and not the woman. So there is a priority by creation for man. Pardon me. The scriptures also emphasize the fact that that woman was made out of the man. In all of these passages, taken out of the man to show a connection to him. And that she was meant to be a help for man. Now, some of our evangelical brethren, I love you. God bless you. You all have twisted the word of God, and you know it. And you got a mess on your hands today. I used to have pastors invite me because they knew I believed this and I preached this. I still believe it to this day. Because you're not going to solve the other problems in your church until you deal with this issue. And you may lose some families over it. So be it. But you'll have less problems. But Dr. Guzik said a help for man that was fitting for him. Deep down in a woman's heart, she wants to help her man. She wants to be needed by her man. She wants to be needed to her children, by her children. God has wired women that way. Not all women. Some women are not called to marry, and you shouldn't get married just because other people are getting married. You need to stay celibate. And by the way, if you're not going to, listen to me, I know you think you can get married. That's what you people are doing. You can get married and you can still stay single. No, it doesn't work that way. Once you marry before God, the game changes, my friend. It changes. All of a sudden, just out of the blue, the man asks you, okay, where you been? Oh, you're getting so possessive. You were not that way when we were dating. You're so jealous. Where you been at? That's what he, you know, he has become a husband. He's a husband now. It changes. I can't tell you how quick it changes. See, and if you're not willing to submit to his leadership, that's going to be a problem. And don't be shocked. Thank God for what evidently God has done in Kanye's heart and life. But they're already having problems because Kanye evidently truly got saved. He has already made some serious statements about his wife, and she's beautiful, dressed in all of these tight clothes and all that. He wants that to stop now. As a husband, as a Christian husband, that, he feels like he's being disrespected. But lately, not only that, he's already taken the television out of the children's rooms, have taken away their cell phones, all kinds of stuff like that. See, you're showing signs of being saved by doing stuff like that. That's not just him. That's the Lord moving him to try to protect his children from all this materialism and mess. Yeah, he took the lipstick away from the girls. All that already. So don't be shocked if it seems like Kim is going to try to submit a little bit. But don't be shocked if they split. Because it appears that Kanye truly got born again and truly got saved. And when you get saved and you're a husband and you're a father, things change, man. Husbands and fathers think different. They think like T.I. T.I. is just, wow. I wish I had thought of that. I never thought of it. But I didn't have to. Because nothing like that happened, thank God. Man was also made the Lord of creation. Little L, Lord. Don't get it twisted. It was to man that this authority was given over the brute animal creation. Man, not woman. Man. I was someplace today and my baby son was with me. They had a big old dog taller than he is. And anybody who would come on the property would see this dog, they would be scared to death. The dog is up here. And he stinks too, but that's all right. Forgive me, Gabe. But he does. You need to bathe the dog. Dog up to here. But that dog respected me. He did one thing that he did not respect me about. It just shocked me. I was getting ready to sit down in a seat. I lie not to you. This big old Great Dane. I guess because the last time I was there, I sat in that same seat. No problem. So he remembered my sitting in that seat. Every time I've been there, I sit in that seat. And that big old Great Dane, I lied not to you. He just wanted, I guess, mark his little place or whatever. Let him know, hey, this is my house. I lie not to you. I'm not trying to be funny. But that Great Dane backed up to my couch seat, set his butt down in the seat, kept his legs on the ground. I said, oh, man. Oh, man, you're not right, boy, I tell you the truth. sat his butt down in the seat. I've never seen anything like it. Just to let me know. And I said, this is my house. Reverend, whatever you call yourself, this is my house. And left and just set his butt on the seat, legs down on the ground, and let me see it. I dare you to come sit here now. He sure won that battle. Because I had to sit in another seat. I can't. I had my good pants on. I can't do that. And it sat there for like a minute and walked off. Like, go on, you can sit down if you want to now. But I set my butt down there first. That's the only thing he did. But that dog, that big old dog, I'm not big on, you know, the big old dog like that. Big old dog come up here. Other than that, respected me, honored me. Always wants me the pet, come right up to me. I'm thinking, what? Rub up against me, want me to pet him and all this. I mean, just as sweet as he could be. And his owner said, he always wants affection. In fact, he said one of the reasons why he's here right here, because I'm talking to you. He gets jealous of me talking to other people. And so he gets in between me and all my people, all the people that come over here. I said, oh, my soul. But that dog loves his master, and that dog showed me the utmost respect other than that little one incident. But all I'm saying is man is in charge of creation as well. It was man who was called upon to give them names, not woman, man. We had a dog once. The dog responded to me well, but not to my wife. I don't know. But not only that, I can talk to Alexa. Alexa loves me and talk back, but my wife can talk to her and she won't respond. I'm just kidding, but that is true. And I told you already my wife is jealous of Alexa, but that's okay. Here are indications that man was put into a position of leadership, lordship, if you will, and authority and power. He makes the decisions. He gives the rulings. Man does. That is the fundamental teaching with regard to this whole matter, end of quote. Now, I did it this way tonight because I want you to get the foundation. And now I'm going to close. And by the grace of God, because we're dealing with a serious issue in the church. And humanly speaking, I don't believe any of you are going to change. But I must do my job that God called me to do, in season and out of season. Now, if you want America to be truly great, it is not great now, contrary to what President Trump says, or President Obama, whoever. It's not great now. It's a mess. But it's not the president's fault. It's the church's fault. Half the nation who claim to be Christians don't even pray for the president, for President Obama or President Trump. And that's evil as hell. And you will answer to God for that. For you to have that kind of hatred in your heart, you won't even pray for a man? That's wicked. And that's the main point of this entire passage, that God's people ought to pray. And God wants us to pray in a certain way. He does not want, he wants you to be on praying ground. You can't go to church shaking your booty and trying to pray to Jesus and pray to God in the name of Jesus at the same time. You can't go to the house of God trying to attract people to yourself when everybody's supposed to be attracted to Jesus. You can't go to the house of God for prayer or to even pray, and you got, as men, hands of wrath, unholy hands. Hands that have been around the hips of another woman that you're not married to. Because you're not on praying ground and your prayers are not going to be answered. So as Christians, we need to pray. Let's pray right now. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather around your holy word. And Lord, we may be dealing with a situation that you may not even want us to pursue. And that is America being great again. But with that said, Lord, I know that you want us to do our part and do what we're supposed to do, whether or not that's in the future. And you want us to be obedient to you. We as Christians ought to want to be godly again. And if we are godly again, we can possibly see America return to greatness. And so we must at least confess our sins and repent of our sins and turn from our evil ways and pray for all people saved and lost, presidents and paupers. And not only for our nation, but all nations. We ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We ought to be a praying people, and when we pray, we must do it your way and not ours. As you know, Lord, the greatest lesson you ever taught me in my life after getting saved, you helped me to understand that you appreciate my wanting to serve you, but you made it very clear to me through chastisement that I must do it your way and not my way. And we have apparently too many people who claim to be Christians, who have no regard for your holy word, who have unfortunately changed your holy word to fit what they want to do. And so therefore they don't obey it and don't respect it. And this is what causes the problems that we're having in the church and in our society. So have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us of our sins and help us to repent. And Lord, I pray that I'm wrong. I pray that millions would in the house of God repent and go back to the old landmarks and do things the right way for your glory, praise, and honor, and for the transforming of America through prayer and witnessing and telling people about Jesus. Two things that we're not doing today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you are with us tonight and you suffered through all of that and you say, well, pastor, preacher, I really don't understand all of that, but I can sense the truth in it. I can see where you're going with that. But that does not really involve me right now. And you say, Pastor, I do not know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I heard you read a verse about that in that passage. And so if that is the case, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. And then you can start praying the saint's prayers, if you will. First, please understand that you are a sinner, just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Because of your sin, you're headed towards death. Your body will be buried in a grave or a watery grave, a ground grave or a watery grave, whatever, your body will die and your soul will go to hell if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, and if you refuse to trust Him as Savior and believe on Him. For Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, He pointed out that there is a hell, because Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than He did about heaven. So hell is a real place, whether you believe it or not. And your unbelief will not change the fact. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a very real place. Hell is a very serious matter. And hell is bad news. Jesus Christ said hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, you want to dismiss that too? We got a whole bunch of dismissers, even preachers, all over YouTube today dismissing the Word of God. Now, either there's a hell or Jesus is lying. And I say that respectfully. And I know He's not lying. I believe. The same Jesus who said John 3:16, what I'm getting ready to share with you now. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with Him. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and He will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. Also saved from your sin that causes your hell. For whosoever, the Bible says, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do is believe. That's right. Believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, early one Sunday morning. And pray and ask Him to save your soul, and He will save you. That's what I did December 19, 1979, so long ago. 40 years ago this year. And I assure you, based upon the Word of God, not only my experience, and you got to understand, I got saved out of the church, out of the religion. Dad was a Baptist preacher. Mother was a Pentecostal preacher. I was not saved all those years until I left home and heard the gospel for the first time. And that's why I preach it every day. Because I want you to hear the gospel and be saved today. If you want to be saved, simply believe that Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God, who took away the sin of the world, all of it, all of your wickedness and all of mine. And all He wants you to do is believe on Him, trust in Him, pray and ask Him to save you, and He will save you. Please follow me in prayer right now if you want to be saved. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in Your sight. I have broken Your Ten Commandments. I have taken Your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed my parents at times. I have stolen things before. I have coveted after and lusted after people and things before in my heart. And I have lied many times. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon my soul, and please forgive me of all of my sins. For I understand that I deserve to go to hell, just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. But I now believe on you, Lord Jesus, based upon your gospel. I believe in my heart that you suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins. You paid my sin debt, was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, I receive you into my heart. Please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to truly repent of my sins past and turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life. Lord Jesus, as I pray it in your name, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from the hell you deserve. And you're on your way to the heaven you don't deserve. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good. Now let's make the church godly again so that we can help make America great again for God's glory, praise, and honor. And as one great evangelist says, go out now and serve your King. God bless you. Until next time.